Now tonight I want to continue with our studies in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapters 5, 6 and 7 comprise Jesus' message, his teaching to disciples and would-be disciples, which we call the Sermon on the Mount. And last week we were looking together at a very solemn passage where the Lord Jesus warns us against false prophets. Beware of false prophets. But tonight the subject is going to be false Christians. And if anything, it's even more solemn and searching than the one last week. Chapter 7 of Matthew and verse 21. Reading in the King James Version now. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now I must say that I can't imagine a more solemn and searching passage of scripture in the whole Bible than this. If this passage doesn't challenge us, then nothing will. And therefore we must examine it carefully. We're not going to take very long about it. I did wonder if we should leave it till another week because it's a baptizing service, or whether we should take several weeks, but no, I believe we should look at it tonight. What more suitable in a way passage could we have for a service of baptism than this one? Believer's baptism. Jesus says there are going to be some shocks and surprises at the judgment day. Now there are four important things that this passage tells us. We're going to deal with three of them fairly briefly and then focus on the fourth, because Jesus does. He enlarges the fourth. First of all, Jesus says there's going to be a judgment day. That's what he means by that day. Many will say to me in that day. There's a day fixed in the calendar of God which is called the Day of Judgment. That day. And it's coming. We don't know when it will be, but it will be. We shall all be there. And the second thing that he tells us is that he is going to be the judge. Many will say to me in that day. And it's going to be the Lord Jesus himself that will profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me. And of course other passages of scripture tell us that he's going to be the one that is upon the throne. The passage we read about the sheep and the goats. When the Son of Man comes in all his glory with all his holy angels, then shall be gathered before him all the nations. Before whom? Before the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll be the judge. It's the second thing. And then the third thing it tells us is this, that not everyone is going to be acquitted on that day. It's going to be a day of separation on that day. Some are going to hear the words, depart from me. I never knew you. Depart from me. And we know from what it said in our passage from Matthew 25 that they will go away into everlasting punishment. That's what the Lord Jesus said. Now the Lord Jesus had just been warning disciples and would-be disciples against false prophets. And as we saw last week, false prophets are still with us today. And false prophets, almost to a man, will deny that teaching. They may be dressed up in ministerial garb, or they may stand up and call themselves reverend or something, or they may say that they are true ministers of the gospel, but if they're a false prophet, I have usually found they will deny those three things. They will say, no, there isn't going to be any judgment day. That's out of date teaching. That's old Victorian teaching or even Middle Ages teaching. All this hellfire and damnation stuff, they say, that's out, we don't believe that anymore. And they will say, the Lord Jesus Christ is not going to be a judge, he is a gentle Jesus, meek and mild, that doesn't tie up with that at all, and certainly he wouldn't turn anybody away. That would be a denial of the love of God, they say, and so everybody will be saved, all roads lead to heaven, all are going to get there. And Jesus says, no way, that's not true. But the false prophet denies this. Now I would say, first of all, surely instinct itself tells us that justice is right. Hasn't God put within all of us a sense of justice? If we read in our newspaper that somebody has done some foul deed, we feel they ought to be brought to justice. Two of our ladies in our church fellowship were burgled recently whilst they were even sitting in their own garden, and some of their precious possessions were taken. It wasn't so much precious in the way of monetary value, but the fact that they were irreplaceable, of sentimental value. Things that had been given to them by people who were precious to them, they were taken. Now I prayed that day that the police would find the person who'd done it, and that this material would be returned to them. And all decent, just not just Christians, but all decent minded people believe in law and order, don't we? Of course we do. You can't run society without law and order. Now I'm saying that surely therefore, without the Bible even, there is an instinct within us that says right is right and wrong is wrong, and the wrongdoer should be brought to justice. How many people in industrial relations or any relations say, all I want is justice. I'm not asking for any favours, I'm not asking for any special treatment, all I want is justice for my case. United Nations Charter, that every nation should have justice, freedom, so on. We believe in it, the world believes in it. Yes, and God believes in it, that's where it comes from. And the Bible believes in it and teaches it, and Jesus taught it. And he said, one day there's going to be a day of judgment. There are people in this life who get away with it, but they won't get away with it forever, because one day every single person's going to be raised from the dead and is going to be brought before a great judge, and that judge is called Jesus Christ. And the books will be opened, and the life will be told, and all the deeds will be unfolded, and then will be the judgment. Jesus of Nazareth was brought before Caiaphas, the Jewish high priest, but one day Caiaphas is going to be brought before Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth was brought before Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor who thought he had power, but one day Pontius Pilate is going to be brought before Jesus of Nazareth. The roles will be reversed on that day. The crowd walked beside Golgotha and they looked up to the one hanging on the cross and they mocked him, or they were indifferent to him. But one day every single one of those will be brought before him. So will you and so will I. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Now, my friend, you can say if you like that you don't believe that, that it won't happen, that it's all Middle Ages or something, but if you do, then you're saying that Jesus Christ was a liar. Now, it's free country, you can say that, but let's know where you stand. This is not the teaching of some hellfire damnation ranting preacher. This is the teaching of Jesus Christ, the tenderest, most loving man who has ever walked the earth. He says there's going to be a day of judgment and I will be there. I'm sitting on a mountain in Galilee now, he said, but that day I'll be on the throne and everybody will be brought before me. And some people will be sent away. Many to everlasting punishment. And I would say to those who deny it anyway, how do you know that God is a God of love? Except the Bible tells us so. How do you know that Jesus was gentle and loving and kind? Except the Bible tells us so. Well, then we've also to take the other things that the Bible tells us about God and about the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't pick and choose. But the fourth thing that Jesus tells us in the passage, which we have had brought before us tonight, is that many will be damned on that day who thought they were going to be saved. And that's the shock, isn't it? Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, and I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Now that's the shock. Some people sometimes say to me, they say, there are a lot of hypocrites in the church. And I say, yes, and there'll be a day come when they'll be unmasked. There's truth in that. There are hypocrites in the church. A hypocrite is somebody who pretends to be something that he isn't. Who's playing a part, who's a fraud, who's pseudo, who's a sham. Who says Jesus is Lord, but he isn't Lord. Who pretends to live one thing outwardly, but inwardly he's something else, or privately or secretly he's something else. And I say, well, you may well be right, there are hypocrites in the church. But I'll tell you this, the Bible says one day they're going to be unmasked. And that's what it says here. And the thing that shatters me is that Jesus says, many will say to me in that day. Many. It isn't that there is one here and one there. Alas, in a certain church here, there's one false Christian. Many. And that means that tonight, it's very likely that in this congregation, there are quite a number of you who have said Jesus is Lord and you profess to be a Christian as I do, but really we're not, perhaps. Now I don't know, but God does. Let's just have a look at what these people will be like who really were not Christians at all. First of all, Jesus says they will have been orthodox in their doctrine, in their belief. They will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. Now that is the confession of faith of a true Christian. That's what these who are going to be baptized will confess, that Jesus Christ is Lord. That means I believe that Jesus of Nazareth was not only a man, but he is God. He is unique. There's never been anyone like him. He's unique. He's Lord. And he's my master. He's my Lord. Jesus is my Lord. Nobody can truly say that except by the Holy Spirit. But of course a person can say it with their lips. And these people that Jesus is unmasking and warning about will have said that. Not talking about people now who deny the deity of Christ or something of that kind. He is saying that there will be many who have actually held right doctrine and have confessed the right things. They weren't heretic. They may have well been baptized as professing believers. And then he says the second thing about them is that they'll be fervent. That's why it's twice. Lord, Lord. Twice. And when you get that in scripture, it suggests a kind of fervency, an intensity. You see, we know that perhaps it's possible for somebody to say, well, yes, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ his Son. But it's just an intellectual thing. It doesn't seem to come from the heart. There's no sincerity about it. Oh, but not with these people. There's a fervency. They would have sung How Great Thou Art with all the fervency they could muster. Lord, Lord. But they were not saved. And then he says in the third place, they will have prophesied, or may be able to claim that they prophesied in his name. Have we not prophesied in thy name? You see, here it is, the day of judgment, and they're brought, everyone is brought, before the throne. But these people know that they are condemned because they've been remanded in custody. When they died, they didn't go to heaven, they went to hell. But now they've been brought out that justice may be seen to be done, and they're brought out before the throne. And so they begin to plead with him. How can you send us to hell? Surely a mistake has been made. Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? What does that mean? Bring a message from God. That's what a prophet does. They will say, we brought messages from God. We spoke in your name. We gave testimony. He will say, depart from me, I never knew you. Here says one, I was a preacher. Here says one, I was a pastor of a church. I was a preacher. I was a gospel preacher. Depart from me, I never knew you. It's possible. It's tragically possible. Even looking back on my own life, I can remember in my early teens, or middle teens, I used to go out with the gospel team. And one of us would give the testimony, and one of us would lead, and another one would bring a message. And I wasn't saved. I'm not going to pass judgment upon the others. That's for this Jesus to do, not me. But I wasn't saved. But oh, you should have heard the testimony. How as a little boy of 11 I'd put my hand up and all that. But I was leading a double life, my friend. I was leading a double life. On Sunday and in the testimony meeting and out with the gospel team, I was one thing, but it was a different matter on a Monday, or on a Saturday night particularly, or in the private place especially. But Jesus knew. Thank God he came to me again when I was 19. And there will be those who will say, oh Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. But he goes even further, and this seems almost incredible if Jesus hadn't said it himself, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. In other words, there will be people there on that day who actually performed miracles. Not sham miracles, counterfeit miracles, there are plenty of those, but real miracles. Whether the power that they did them in was the devil's, or whether the power that they did them in was given of God, I just don't know. But they weren't Christians. And evidently, it is possible for a person even to work a miracle in the name of Jesus Christ and yet not know him themselves as their Savior and Lord, and be lost in the end. I think that may be why, when the 70 that Jesus had sent out to heal and to preach came back bubbling over with joy because they'd cast out devils and done mighty works, Jesus said to them, might have seemed almost like a douche of cold water at first, he said, rejoice not that the devils are subject unto you, but that your name is written in heaven. You see, there was one, not of the 70, but of the 12, who was a traitor. His name was Judas. And so far as we know from the Bible, he'd gone out with all the others, and he'd done mighty works, and he'd preached, but he was a traitor, and tonight he's in hell. And it's a tragic thing, but it's the teaching of the Lord Jesus. And if you and I get there on the judgment day, it's possible that we may say, but Lord, Lord, I was baptized. Depart from me. I never knew you. But I was a church member. Depart from me. I never knew you. But Lord, Lord, I was a Sunday school teacher. I was a leader. I was a deacon. Depart from me. I never knew you. It's even possible that a person will say, I was a minister of a church, and he will say, depart from me, I never knew you. All right then, well now, what's the test? Verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. What's that? Well, the Ten Commandments is the will of God, an expression of the will of God. The Sermon on the Mount is an expression of the will of God. That's why we're going through it. Jesus said that you could sum up the law in these words, that we should love God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind and with all our strength, and our neighbour as ourselves. And that's the will of God summed up in a sentence. And I would suggest to you that when I examine my life at the sight of that, I say then I'm damned. If it leaves it there, if that's the end of the story, then I'm lost. Because which of us here tonight could honestly say, well, I have perfectly kept all those commandments always. I have kept that Sermon on the Mount always. I have done everything Jesus said always. I've loved God first and foremost always, and my neighbours, myself. The Bible says, and our own hearts confirm it, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all sinners. What then, is there no way of salvation? Yes, there is. Yes, there is. When man was lost and damned and condemned and helpless and hopeless in his sin and under judgment, God in his grace sent his Son. And this is the gospel. He sent his only beloved Son from heaven's glory that he might come and live a perfect life and then go to that cross and die there as a condemned sinner and take the wrath of God upon himself. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He said he came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. So this is the will of God then for you and for me. First of all, that we repent. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. There's nobody that need no repentance. There are some who think they don't, but we all must repent. What does that mean? It means turning from sin. It means saying to God, oh, I'm sorry for my sin and that I've broken your law, and I want now to do right. I want to turn from that sin. And I want to do right, I want to obey those commandments and live right, and I repent. It means believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the second will of God. Those that doeth the will of my Father. Here's the second thing then. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a command. It's not merely an exhortation or an offer. It's a command from God to sinful men. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will be saved. Do you notice that Jesus said that he will say on that day, depart from me, I never knew you. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Knew you. Doesn't mean I never knew you existed. He has all knowledge. He knows everything. He knows everything about everyone. He knows you exist. He knows your name. He knows why you're here. He knows everything about you and me. That's why he can judge accurately and fairly, because he knows everything. He knows the excuses that we make. He knows everything. But when he says, I will say I never knew you, he means you and I never came into an intimate relationship and became one. Like a husband and wife. Do you know the Lord Jesus as your Saviour? My Saviour. Do you know him as your friend? My friend. He is mine and I am his forever and forever. But there's a third thing, and here I think we get to the very crux of the challenge of the Lord Jesus. Do you know him as your Lord? Because we are to repent, we are to believe, and we are to obey him. And that's why he says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father in heaven. In other words, the person that ultimately obeys me and seeks to keep my word and do my will. Oh, I want to challenge you tonight, dear friend. As I challenge myself, as I've tried to suggest to you, I'm not putting myself up on some pedestal. This is the most severe test of all. To those to whom much is given, much will be required. To those who've been privileged to be brought up in a Christian home and to have heard the gospel from childhood and to have been in a gospel church and a gospel young people's fellowship and to have known the way, or what condemnation then if it's rejected, if we spurn the gospel. Is there something sham about your profession? Something sham. You can fool others. I don't know. You may even try to fool yourself. But God knows. Is there a relationship which is not the will of God? And you know it. He that doeth the will of my Father, that's the one who's going to heaven. Not the one who says, Lord, Lord, but the one who has come and knows me as Saviour and friend, and then goes out and does the will of my Father in heaven. That's what Jesus says. Is there idolatry in the home? Is your home the idol? Is making money the idol? Is there some service that God wants you to do and you know it, but you'd rather make more money? I don't know what it is. I pray the Spirit of God may go along these galleries with the hundreds of people here tonight and across the down floor here, and may search your heart, because He knows you and He knows me through and through, and say to us all, are we playing at it, and are we a sham? And Jesus said, it's not what we say or what we profess, it's not the fervency with which we say it or sing it, it's not even the Christian service that we do that's going to be the ultimate test on the day of judgment, but do we do the will of God? But you say, I'm saved by grace. Praise God, yes, but don't ever use that for an excuse for disobedience. Because the Bible says that if you've really known the grace of God in your heart, and I have, and true faith in the living Christ, then we'll do the things that He says. And if we deliberately go on in disobedience and in sin, then really it raises a question over whether we are His or we're not. And I would plead with you, therefore, dear friend, tonight, get right with God. This is the challenge. It's against hypocrisy. It's against sham. It's against false Christians. There are people in our churches. I was once one of them, and God searched my heart whether I still am. Who know all the language, but know not the Saviour. But God doesn't want it to be like that. God doesn't want, He hath no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his wicked way and live. I don't want that anyone here tonight should hear those words on that day, depart from me, you that do lawlessness. Depart from me. Depart from me. Ask the Lord to show you where you stand before Him. And whether it's going to be welcome, my friend, my beloved one, or whether it's going to be depart from me. Because if you profess a lifetime of service, it won't get you into heaven if He says that. He that doeth the will of my Father that is in heaven. Let's have a moment or two of quietness. I believe we're individuals now before the Lord. Whatever it is that the Spirit of God puts His finger on, tell God that you want to be right and do right. You want to be true. You want to be genuine. God helping you. Our Father and our God, we pray that you will search us all tonight and have your way with us. We know that there's a moment and there's a message which is just for a particular person. Father, we pray tonight that if this message has been for a particular person, please bring them through. Don't send them away even harder than they came in, but bring them to repentance and faith and obedience, whatever the cost, for Jesus' sake. Amen.